Growing businesses and finance professionals, you need Bill Spend and Expense, the free-to-use spend management software. It's powered by the Bill Divvy Corporate Card, which helps growing companies scale with credit lines of $500 to $15 million, automated expense reports, and as many virtual cards as you need. For a limited time, get $500 when you get started with Bill Spend and Expense. Request a demo at bill.com/get500. Terms and conditions apply. Advertised credit ranges are not guaranteed and are determined at approval. Card issued by Cross River Bank, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
How's it going, everybody? And welcome to another episode of the Knife Talk podcast. I appreciate these guys holding it down while I've been on the road traveling. I'm Mareko Malmasi of Malmasi Fire Arts. And usually I'm here with Craig Lockwood, but he decided to take a shit. But I am here with Jeff Fader, as always, and of Fader Knives. And, you know, we're here in the podcast to keep you guys company and, you know, answer your questions, help troubleshoot those difficult life decisions and choices and customers. And we're just here to have a good time. So with that said, we're going to kick it off with just kind of talking about the last week, or at least for me, it's been the last couple weeks because I missed last week.
Right.
But what about you, Jeff? How's the week been? Or do you want me to start?
Who gives a fuck? Here's the funny part.
Okay.
The funny part is us giving life advice is a terrible idea. So us helping other people is like, I mean, it's like the blind leading the blind to a certain degree. But I must say, I missed you last week, and we still have to do our recap of Blade Show because it was so great seeing you at Blade Show.
It was. It was great to see you, too.
So you're in Ireland. You're at Fingal Ferguson's compound. Take us from – let's start off at Blade Show and then take us to Fingal's place.
Okay. Blade Show was busy as hell, but it was awesome. And I swear to God, I must have been talking basically the whole time. And I was a good boy, and I was able to get up early in the morning.
Nice.
Every day, and get there before the show opened to see work, because that was one of my big issues last year. I got there a day late because I thought I was playing it smart by not being there the whole time, but I got there a day too late and missed out on a bunch of stuff, especially, again, regarding work that I wanted to actually see. So I was able to see the work I wanted to see this year. Met a lot of great new people, caught up with people, friends past, and you. Did a Patreon meetup with my Patreon, which was super cool. I appreciate everybody that jumped in there and did that. It was a good time. And my friend Gabe Fletcher was at Blade Show for the first time. Will Brigham of the Artificery was at Blade Show for the first time. Justin Stinson was at Blade Show, Running Man Forge, for the first time, as well as JB Ramirez of Labrado Forge. There's just like, it was cool to be there while all these people were experiencing Blade Show for the first time. And it was a lot of fun, though.
I got to say, we kind of did a recap last week.
Sure.
I kind of filled Craig in. I told him that most people were really kind of missing the fact that he wasn't there. And there was a lot of trying to figure out how to get him over there, get him for next year. So we're working on it. We're working on getting Craig over for next year. It was awesome to see you. And I was overwhelmed by how many listeners of this podcast reached out to me. And I'm sure you felt the same way.
Yeah, no, it was great. And it was great to also, of course, see our sponsors like Damon Steel and Even Heat and Broadback and those guys. They're all good people, all great to connect with. I owe Carly an apology because at one point when we did the meetup on Saturday, I can't even remember what we were talking about. We were talking about kids, but I can't remember even what was exactly said. And it was like an innocuous comment about child raising kids and stuff. And I was in the middle of taking a swig of beer, and I just spit taked all over.
Oh, I saw that.
I got all over me. I don't know if I got Carly, but I think I got Roger or one of the other Damn Steel
guys.
That
was bizarre.
Yeah, you turn around and you're like, what the fuck happened? Carly, yeah. What are you doing to him? But yeah, it was a me problem, honestly. More than anything.
So you had a good time.
Yeah, I had a great time. Yeah,
and then
it was probably
your...
one of the best Blade shows I've had in a while. And
really?
I still didn't get... There were so many people I still didn't get to talk to, because I took it for granted that I was just going to be able to chat with people that I normally chat with, and never did. Like, I didn't say... I think I waved hi to Andrew Mears like once, and usually he and I spend like a solid amount of time kind of catching up and talking knives and life and all that kind of stuff. I had just waved hi at him at one point walking around. I didn't get to talk to Lynn Ray. I didn't, like, tons of people I didn't get to talk to.
I missed him. He came in late. Lynn came in. I think he and I just missed each other because I left Saturday afternoon, and yeah,
I think
he showed up Saturday afternoon.
Oh, he wasn't there even for the whole show.
Yeah, I don't think so. But yeah, I would have been, look, this is what happens. I mean, you can't do it all. I mean, you were there, how many, were you there 3 days, 4 days?
I was there Thursday, I got there Thursday morning, and I flew out Sunday morning. So,
wow.
But the show is, what is it, like Thursday afternoon while people are doing setup, because they let the vendor or like the table holders come in and set up the tables and stuff like that Thursday afternoon. I got in and I got to say what's up to a few folks and have some good conversations. And honestly, like, if people are interested in having like first dibs at handle materials and stuff, setup day is actually the day to show up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's nobody else there.
You mean for that?
All the supply guys, all the supply guys are there, and they're set up Thursday because it's only knife makers in there on Thursdays.
That's a good call.
And that's their target. That's their target market, right? Those are the people they're trying to sell. I mean, obviously there are attendees that are also like hobbyist knife makers or not necessarily holding a table, but yeah, they make sure they're set up Thursday night or Thursday afternoon, like right away.
So that was pick of the litter. So if you got there Thursday, you're getting pick of the litter.
You're getting pick of the litter for fucking sure.
Hmm. That's interesting. I saw Rob's Wildwood. I spent a lot of time with him, and
I
got great stuff from him. I was slightly surprised. There was one point I was looking at Koa from somewhere, and the price of the Koa was like the distance between $160 for a piece of Koa to $40. It was like looking at these two pieces of the same size Koa, and I'm just like, how the fuck are you making that jump from $40 to $160? And I'm just looking at these both. I'm just like,
sure. Well, so it's not just the curls. It's like the presentation of the curls in all sides. And so the better the curls present around the entire block, the more highly valued it is. And the tighter the curls are and the clarity... Because you can have tight curls, but there can also sometimes be this like weird muddiness to the curls, which is why they like to polish up the handles really nicely, so people can really see like how clean and clear the material looks.
Did you buy any?
I didn't buy a fuck. No, I didn't buy anything.
No, you didn't.
No, I'm good. I'm set.
Hey,
I haven't needed to buy handle material in years.
Jeez.
I had a handle problem for a while.
Did you?
Yeah, for sure. And then I was like, this is ridiculous.
Wow.
I have more handle material than I'm able to make knives for like the next few years. So
Jesus.
Yeah.
That's a nice problem to have. Yeah, I never have enough. So
can't get enough.
Okay, what are you gonna do? So what would you say the highlight, or give me three highlights, your highlights of Blade Show? In no random order, no, there's just like three things that come to the top of your head.
In no particular order.
Okay.
I think one of my top highlights was seeing Jordan Lamote and catching up with him and seeing his work firsthand. He was one of the makers who I missed last year. And he had just phenomenal work. And he definitely won, I think he won Best Chef's Knife.
That's right.
Rightfully so. It was beautifully executed. Great geometry. I got my fingers all over that damn thing. Coon fingered it, right? And
what? Oh, jeez.
You know, like, have you ever seen a raccoon eat food?
I thought you said goon. Okay, fine.
Oh,
I'm with you.
I'm sure I probably goon fingered it too, but that probably involves a little bit slobber as well.
Right, okay, all right. So, you know what? Funny enough, I just interviewed Jordan a couple days ago, and he will be on this episode, and we talked all about his that piece he had called Sojourn. It was a very interesting piece.
Yeah.
Because it was, in my opinion, it was the closest thing to contemporary art sculpture than I've heard, because the whole concept was it was his time spent in India, right, and then he contrasted it with his home in upstate New York with the apple blossoms. It was very, very thoughtful, and I had to spend a lot of good time with him right after the Blade show. He came right on. It was Flow Blast podcast this past week.
Yeah. Yeah, I was really glad I got to see that piece. It was a really special piece, like you're saying. And there's the handle is there's just like all this, it's hollow. And there's all this pierce work where material's intentionally removed and the bottom has like a little hinge. And I guess that's a traditional thing because in Turkey in like whatever the 16 or 1700s, they would like hide their hash in the handle.
Jeez.
But I was like, dude, you know what? If there was a way, I was giving him a, you know what you should do?
Oh, boy.
I just realized, oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
I was like, you know what you should do? You should make a way for there to be a little incense that can sit in there. And then as it's sitting there on the presentation in the stand, smoke is coming out of that pierce work handle with all the carving and engraving and the overlay of the Kafgari work. It was super cool.
What did he say to that suggestion?
He loved it. He's like,
oh, he did?
God, I didn't even think about that. I was like, yeah, boy, do it. Do it.
Well,
okay, that was one highlight.
All right, before you get to it, I want to just say that this part of You Know What You Should Do is sponsored by Evenheat. Evenheat is the manufacturer of the finest heat treat ovens. Definitely, we saw them at Blade Show. It was great catching up with Spence and Quinn and the boys over there. Go to evenheat-kiln.com and check out all their kilns and ovens and all that stuff. They got a new temper oven. They got all that stuff. If you want to get it hard, get an Evenheat. All right, go ahead. Second one.
Yeah, well, just to add to the Evenheat, yeah, I got to spend some time hanging out with those guys. They're one of the sponsors of my calendar as well. And so I was down back there slinging calendars and hanging out with those guys and had a lot of really good conversations with them about heat treating, as well as like kind of standing there helping to field questions about heat treating using the kilns and stuff when random people would just walk up.
Wow.
And it was fun. It was cool. And I enjoyed it a lot, actually. And Spence is such a good dude. And And massive congratulations to him. He's got a little one on the way.
On the way.
On the way.
On the way.
All right. Highlight number two. I met this guy. He's on Instagram. His name's Tuna. And so on Instagram, he's Tuna_the_kingpin.
Yeah.
He had some wild work that he had brought that he has been playing with and doing this kind of experimental keyhole stuff. And it was fucking rad. It blew my socks off. I was completely caught off guard by it, and I thought it was so cool. So that was a massive highlight.
Love Tuna.
Tuna's good, and he's a good dude.
Good dude. Good dude.
Yeah, so I appreciate our guy, Neil Warren, Maximus Knives, bringing him over to say what's up, because otherwise I never would have known, like, or it would have been probably a while longer before I found him. And so I appreciate the connection, Neil. And then one of the other top highlights I can think of right now is was meeting Trahill Blades. Trahill Knives.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay.
Yeah, he was over there with next to Alfredo Facipieri.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and Trey Hill's jamones were crazy, dude. I don't know if you got a chance to get a hold of or look at them. They're so good. They were so good. And yeah, I was that was another thing that really like shocked me. His jamones were so good and well executed and like often like with hormones, it's like you got to catch them in the right light just to see the hormone. And it didn't matter what direction you rotated the knife, what kind of lighting it was under. You could see the hormone the whole fucking time. And it looked they were really great. They had a lot of great activity. And I was like, dude, yes, that's what I like that. I want to learn more of that stuff when it comes to hormones. So, yeah.
Shout out to Alfredo. We were doing a pretty, you know, in-depth, you know, recap, and I didn't mention the fact that it was great to meet Alfredo. That's the first time I met Alfredo. He's such a good guy. We've talked about him on the podcast a million times. He listens to the podcast. He told me that he'll be listening. And while he and his wife, I think, are watching a movie, and then he'll start giggling, and she'll ask him what he's giggling about. And he's just trying to, he can't even explain it. She thinks he's nuts. But he's, Alfredo's the man, and it was really, really awesome to see Alfredo. So,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, and he also mentioned, because I'm going to be teaching that class in Italy.
Right.
Not this weekend, or I guess, oh shit. Actually, when this comes out, I will be teaching it this coming weekend, at the end of June here. So, but he was like, "I'm gonna bring you some real bolognese, not that bullshit that Craig makes."
You know what? Good for him. Yeah, don't. Yeah, whatever Craig's doing, don't worry about Craig. P.S. Craig is not here because he's obviously, you know, flitting around in some sort of, you know, like alcohol induced. Liam Gallagher, you know, a fan. He's in some sort of fan cosplay,
is he rock and rolling right now?
Something like that. He sent a message to us saying, "Can you mind holding it down?" We're like, "No problem, we'll hold it down." So we're trying to, hopefully, at some point in this episode, Fingal's going to pop on, and Fingal's getting all you squared away generously. And I'm trying to text with you. You can't hear. Unfortunately, we use the group text. And all of a sudden, this son of a bitch, Craig Lockwood, Mr. fucking, you know, sour notes. The guy is pretending. I don't know what the fuck. He writes fucking amateurs. And I want to just reach to the phone and I want to choke his little ass. I mean, it's outrageous. He's like left. I mean, he had some nerve. And then, you know, fine. He's the man and hopefully we'll get him back. I don't know what the hell is going to happen next week, but we'll figure all that out. Now, I want to hear the transition between Atlanta and Ireland. But before we get to that, I just want to thank our friends at Combat Abrasives. Go to combatabrasives.com. And if you put in the promo code KnifeTalk15, you will get 15% off everything. All the belts, all the mops, all the compounds, all that stuff. Definitely go over to combatabrasives.com and put in the promo code KnifeTalk15. All right. You leave Atlanta. You didn't have any problems with TSA, I assume.
Not this time.
Not this time. You're the only one, because like I've been hearing nothing but problems. They went through my bag and they wanted to know what all the handle wood was for.
Wood. They think it's like C4 or some shit.
No. They wanted to know what it is. And I say it's, as I said on last week, I said, you know, my dad told me a long time ago, when you go to the airport, there's certain words you just don't use. And one of them is bomb, and the other one is knife. So, or gun. So you just don't say any of it, and you'll be fine. So he's going through my bag. He's asking what this is, what that is. And I said, it's wood. And he goes, what is it for? And I said, it's for handles. And the guy said, well, handles for what, a drawer? And then I finally had to tell him. Meanwhile, he emptied my entire bag out. Then he found out I was a knife maker. He thought it was super duper cool. And then handed me this unloaded bag. Just everything was all over the place.
You didn't check anything.
No. So I had to, like, he gave it to me back. Everything's all over the place. He's like, yeah, man, that's really cool. I can't wait to see you on Instagram. I'm like, fuck you. Thank you for, fuck you. You could have put it all back. So that was the end of that. All right. Yeah. You get to the airport. And then tell me the transition behind getting from Atlanta back to home and grabbing the whole family and heading over to Ireland.
Oh, my God. So it was whirlwind. So I get back Sunday evening, or I guess afternoon, and basically, like, I help make dinner and crash the fuck out because I'm all fucked up from travel.
Right.
And then Monday and Tuesday was, like, last minutes of getting shit together, especially from the shop, like, because I'm doing forging here and all this stuff, so I gotta get my PPE together and my tools and my aprons and all this stuff and get that all squared away and packed up. I'm also getting the knife that I brought the Blade Show, the zebra pattern knife. I was getting that all packaged up and squared away because we had a buyer for it, and so we sent that out the door, like, just as we were leaving as well.
Wow.
And got, like, the whole, and then got the family together. Oh, fuck, I almost forgot about this.
What?
So we go to leave. We just got this new Prius. We love it. And we go to leave. The kid's loading up. I've already been out to the car putting shit in it, and I'm just running back and forth. And the kid's putting his backpack in, and he comes back into the garage, and he's like, Daddy, the wheel's flat. And I was like, what the fuck is he talking about?
You're kidding me.
I go out there and the fucking rear driver's side wheel tire is flat. And I was like, oh my God. All right, cool. This is why we have a spare. I get the spare. I don't know if you have a Prius, but like you got to dig all this shit out and get to the spare.
Shit is under there.
The jack is fucking garbage. I don't know
it's
if
under
you've
there.
Ever tried. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's so terrible. Anyways, trying to jack this fucking thing up. I'm under there. There's like, it's low to the ground, so there's hardly any fucking room. And it's one of those old school, like, swizzle stick kind of style.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Offset cranker. And I'm looking, while I'm struggling to crank this fucker up, I look across to the other tire, and it's about to go itself on the other side. And I was like, I was like, motherfucker. Yeah, they're just... So the car, I bought it from the state surplus, and that's actually where our first car, our truck, came from. And it's been a great vehicle. And this car has been great, but I noticed that I was like, I think these tires probably need to be replaced soon. They have about, like, just over an eighth of an inch tread.
Oh,
that's
boy.
Not great, but it's better than nothing. They're not bald yet, but they're getting there. So we had a little time on them, and it wasn't until I could see under the, when I was at the flat tire, there was a big old crack on the inside wall. And I was like, oh geez, these are just fucking old tires.
Right.
And they've been sitting around for a while. And that's when I saw the crack on the other inside wall, the other tire right across from it in the rear. And I was like, motherfucker, this is not happening. Who knows when that fucking thing's going to go. And the last thing we need is for it to happen while we're driving up to the fucking airport. So I was like, all right, unload everything. And then we fucking swapped everything back across over to the truck, drove the truck up. And
okay, so how much time did you have between finding the flat and getting to the airport?
So I think it was like maybe a 20-minute delay of me futzing around around before. Yeah, it wasn't horrible, but the airport's like an hour away. There's a lot of construction on I-5 going north to Seattle, and it's hit or miss whether it's going to be good or not. We also have a military base in between us too, and so depending on the time of day, you know, it could be all fucked up with traffic as well.
Humvees.
Yeah. So that was fun. But we got there, and I'll tell you what, traveling for 20 hours with a small child is not fun.
Fucking 20 hours? Where'd you go?
What do you mean? So we flew from Seattle 9.5 hours to Paris for a 6-hour layover.
Wait, and then, I want to say one thing. Yes. 9 hours from Seattle to Paris.
Yes, direct flight.
Is not bad because it's 7 from New York to Paris.
Okay. Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, you know why? Because we fucking flew over Canada and Greenland. We went over close to the North Pole. We didn't do like a straight shot or like parallel to the equator. We went over the top a little bit.
Flat earthers would say that you're not being truthful, but fine.
That's true.
Flat earthers would be like, that's not true. They must have changed the clocks when they were in the plane just to let them know. So you landed in Paris.
We land in Paris 9.5 hours later. We get to the airport 3 hours early. That's where
good
it
man.
Starts.
Good man.
We get to the airport 3 hours
good man.
Early. We're still early, even though
that's
there
fader
was a
time.
Delay.
That's fader. That's fader time right there.
You know,
3 hours early. That's fader time.
I'm happy to get there early.
No problem. Yeah, yeah, sleep, whatever. Yeah. Guy got you.
So actually, let me back it up. So our drive to the airport, 3 hours at the airport, flight for 9.5 hours, layover in Paris for 6 hours, and then another 2 hour flight, 2.5 hour flight to get to Ireland. I think that's about 20 hours. I don't know.
It seems like a lot.
And then once we landed here, then we got our rental car. And then drove 1.5 hours to finally get to Fingal's. So yeah, from point A to point B, it took basically 20 hours, and it was hard with a 7-year-old going on.
Yeah,
because they just, you know, they don't give a fuck about the trip. Right. They just want to be there.
Yeah,
and honestly,
yeah.
I do too. But I can understand. It's not easy. I remember being a elementary school kid crammed in the back of a Chevy Cavalier with brother and sister. Going on fucking 8-hour road trips. It was not fun. But man, yeah, it's hard. Anyways, but we made it. And Fingal has been a fucking phenomenal guest. Or not guest. Sorry, host.
Right.
He's a fucking legend, dude. It's been great hanging out here. He's done his level of hospitality is so extremely high. It's going to be a hard bar for anybody else to get over. So
do you feel pressure? Do you feel pressure that he's being such a good host that if he called you up and said, I'll be in Seattle in a month, do you feel the pressure to reciprocate that hospitality?
I don't think I would feel pressure. I think I would owe it back to him, but I think I would give it to him in the first place.
Of course. I'm just saying it's like
no,
when somebody,
no, there's
I,
no pressure.
Okay, all right, there you go. You're a good host too. So what?
Yeah,
so
we try.
You've been seeing the land. You've been seeing the beautiful
Emerald
Ireland.
Yeah.
Tell me what you guys have been doing with Fingal.
It's gorgeous. So we got here, and let's see. We got here. Oh yeah. We got here kind of early in the morning, so we. First thing we did is we went straight over to the farm, and we got a tour around like the smokehouse and where they do the meat and where all the cheese magic happens and stuff like that. And then we just kind of came back to the house and like decompressed and unpacked and got situated. He's got a gorgeous house, very well set up. He also has a big family. He's got 5 kids and a wife, and thankfully, like a couple of the kids are similar age to Victor, so he's having fun hanging out with them.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so that's super bonus in a way, because now all he doesn't want to go around and see any stuff. Again, he doesn't give a shit
about
these fucking castles that were built in the 1400s or these stone circles that are from like 800 years ago and all this. He's like, I want to hang out with the kids.
Of course.
Do I want to go do this other shit? What are you telling me? We gotta drive an hour to go look at the stones? No, thank you.
But that's that comes with age. When my old man took me to Africa at 12, I was definitely too young to go to Africa.
To appreciate,
you know,
it.
I couldn't. I was too young to appreciate it. So yeah, he's, look, you got to give him a break.
I'm trying to. Yeah, no, he's just, he likes it, and I think he really loves just making new friends, and he's really enjoying hanging out with the kids, and so that's going really good. We did this drive that's called the Ring of Kerry. So there's County Kerry. There's all these different counties around Ireland. We drove around County Kerry. It was absolutely gorgeous. Drove through a couple passes, out by the ocean, saw ancient, you know, like stone forts, like stone rings and all this kind of stuff. Ate great fish and chips. Went swimming on this beach that looks like it belongs in the fucking Bahamas. Yeah, it was beautiful. It's been super fun. And you've probably seen some of the pictures on my Instagram.
I have. Or
actually, from Sarah. My wife is fucking great at taking pictures. I'm horrible about taking pictures. She's been taking pictures this whole time, documenting it. And part of it, thankfully, she's been doing all this, because part of the reason she does all that is because she struggles to remember, like, what the fuck happened. And so she's documenting it partly for herself as well. But yeah, we're seeing some shit. We're having a good time. We're eating some great food, drinking a lot of Beamish stout, Irish stout. Yeah.
Well,
lots of good music. Oh, we went to a show at this kind of legendary place where like Jimi Hendrix played and all these fucking nutty, like crazy.
Wow.
I don't know if the Beatles, but I don't know. A bunch of like very famous bands played at this place called O'Connelly's. In Leap, and it's a fucking tiny venue. Like maybe you can squeeze 60 people in there. And we went and saw this really cool show of like a kind of like a local Irish band, but they did some really they're phenomenal performers. The vocals were great. Everybody was dialed in. It was a really good show. But you know, you just like don't get to do. I used to see music all the time, and I hardly ever see music anymore. And so it's really cool to like have that experience again.
So what have you been working? So tell me about Fingal Shop. And I saw pictures of you work doing a little grinding. Fingal was creeping behind you, taking photos of you.
Yeah.
Tell me about his shop and tell me about what you guys are working on.
I mean, the shop is on the farm. It's surrounded by like cows and pigs, and it smells like it's surrounded by cows and pigs. And but it's great. He's got a good setup. He's thankfully he's got a few different machines, and we're doing like a little bit of like kind of some light knowledge trading about like because he's done some S grinding himself, but he's curious to see how I do the S grinding and some of the convex iron, and then we're doing handle stuff, and we're just kind of like talking about our various processes and stuff, and it's been good. And so he's got a good setup, and we have this collaboration going where, so the blade features both his and my grind work. So he started out with his conventional kind of flat to a subtle convex grind, and then I threw in an S grind. Oh, did I say convex or S grind for him? I think convex.
I don't remember.
Okay, so he did his grind. I added the S grind, and then we got the handle glued up, and it's gonna be a combination of his and my handle styles, kind of like a weird hybrid. But I think it's gonna be really good. I don't know if you've handled any of Fingal's work, but his handles are unconventional handle style. They are super comfortable.
Yeah.
They're super comfortable, and which kind of makes sense because he is a cook or chef first, and so ergonomics are super important to him, and he's very familiar with what a comfortable handle should feel like. And so we're doing this collaboration where we got the handle glued up. He's gonna sculpt the front, like from the blade to the handle transition, the first half of the handle is gonna be his handle style, and then I'm gonna sculpt the back half to kind of blend in my own kind of like faceting kind of work, as well as kind of like some of my contour work. But it's all going to come together hopefully very nicely, so it's nice and comfortable and enjoyable knife to use. And it's a new knife style for me. It's kind of like it's a take on a Chinese cleaver. A Chinese vegetable cleaver, which are wide, they're big knives. And that's a lot of real estate, and it's just monosteel, and out of RWL34, which comes from Sandvik.
Well, that's his bread and butter.
Yeah,
that's his bread and butter.
We went through all the heat treat and everything, and so Yeah, I think it's good. And we're going to get, I think tomorrow morning, we're getting up super early in the morning. We're going to get the handles sculpted and kind of get this thing finished out. He's got a fiber laser, so we can throw marks on there real quick. It's going to be fucking sweet. And yeah, I think it's going to be good.
Look at you. World traveler. Atlanta, Seattle. Next thing you know, you're going to be in Italy. So when do you leave for Italy?
So this weekend coming up. So as we're recording, this is Thursday.
Right.
As this is coming out on Monday, I just finished helping be part of kind of like a new Irish knife maker, bladesmith kind of hammerings gathering.
Whoa!
This will be the first one, or at least the first West Cork hammering in Ireland, and we're going to get a bunch of makers together. The Blenheim, so Sam Dunn, Fingal, of course, the Blenheim, a few of the Blenheim Forge guys are going to be over. Our guy Oscar from Dama Steel is going to be here fucking hanging out and smashing on some steel too. Mark Keeling is an artisan blacksmith. He does ornamental blacksmithing and fabrication. And we were just at his shop kind of like getting a lay of the land and figuring out tooling and stuff. And he showed me kind of his room of finished, like, past finished projects, and they're actually just like small elements. Like there was an extra element just in case, you know, something got fucked up
right.
in some of the past project, and photographs of all kinds of past work he'd done. It is shocking. Like the breadth of his skill and talent is insane. I've never met a blacksmith with that kind of talent. And he's basically like the top artisan blacksmith in Ireland. And he's like 40 minutes from Fingal.
I just want to make one point that I think that one thing that we don't realize is that ornamental ironwork and blacksmithing in Europe and in the UK and in Ireland is a longer tradition than it is in the United States.
For sure.
So you're going to have a lot more opportunities. Like there's Baba is the a British version of the Babana. You're going to have years, centuries and centuries more of information being passed down, and American blacksmiths are so farther, not behind, but they don't have the history of that they do over on where you are now. So it doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, it's really impressive. And so, yeah, so we just kind of got the lay of the land, and we're getting ready to do some, the last Dama Steel Invitational, a lot of people were forging blades out of the Dama Steel. So that's part of kind of what I'm here to help show these guys, my approach to forging Dama Steel and forging integrals, as well as flat stock and economizing material, so that they can get the most out of the material they have available. Because, you know, Dama Steel is a great steel, but it definitely comes with a price tag. And so anything you can do to economize the material as much as possible will help it go farther and you get more work done with what you already have available to you. And so I'm excited to be working with these guys doing this stuff. Like I said, Sam Dunn, the Blenheim guys, Sam Gleason, from a little bit further north. I know I'm missing a couple other people. I'm really sorry. It's going to be probably a very good time, with too much drink and lots of delicious food, spearheaded by Fingal himself.
It is going to be at Fingal's place.
So it's going to be at Mark Keeling's shop.
Okay.
Because he has a couple power hammers. He's got forges. He's got anvils. He's set up. So we're kind of like, and he's going to be there helping to facilitate as well as hanging out a bit too. And, it's in a great spot. It's a beautiful property.
With that said, I want to thank our friends at Dama Steel, and it was great hanging out with them, and I'm looking forward to hearing about this Dama Steel, this forge in Ireland with all the Dama Steel guys. Oscar was dynamite. And if you go to damasteel.se, you can see what all the fuss is about. You can see all their beautiful steels that they have available, including it. But if you want to get the steel for the new Dama Steel build along, for the Knife Talk Dama Steel build along, you got to go to Maritime Knife Supply. But before we get into that, if you go to Damasteel and check out what they have and decide you want some Damasteel, which is, it's, if you can heat treat AEBL, you can heat treat Damasteel. They have a lot of really very, very easy to digest information on heat treating and etching and all that stuff. Go to damasteel.se and use the promo code KNIFETALK for 10% off. But if you want to use the Damasteel for the Knife Talk Damasteel build along for the Damasteel Invitational, you got to go to Maritime Knife Supply. Maritime Knife Supply is the one-stop shop for knife makers, steel belts, abrasives, handles, materials, tools, forges, presses, and more. They're the Canadian distributor for combat abrasives. They're the Canadian distributor of Rhino-Wet, all that stuff. They also have all the Broadbeck stuff. They have all the file guides you need, whatever you need. It was great hanging out with Lawrence, and one of the things I will say is he is a facilitator. So if you don't see what he, if he doesn't have something you want, he'll get it for you, I promise you. So get the Damasteel for the Damasteel Invitational at Maritime Knife Supply and go support Damasteel. That's damasteel.se or Damasteel AB on Instagram. Okay. You're doing that. You're having a good time. Fingal's doing his thing. You're doing your thing. Tell me when you're leaving for Italy and where you're going.
We leave for Italy. Let me just double check the calendar.
That's so all right. You can lie. You can just make it up. Okay. I'm like a couple days here. Nobody gives a shit.
We fly out to Italy on Wednesday,
okay,
the 26th. And yeah. And so we're flying into Pisa. And we're going to be hanging out at Oliver Goldschmidt's from there. So he's a balloon pilot. If people don't know Oliver Goldschmidt and his work, go check it out. Goldschmidt Knives. Or I think it's Oliver Gold. Anyways, he's a balloon pilot. And, so he starts his mornings like super early, like at 4:30. So, and then he takes people on these hot air balloon rides. And so afterwards he's going to come swoop us up and take us to his place, which is just south of
Florence. By balloon?
And, No, not by balloon. He'll like finish the balloon action. Yeah, the reason they start early is because just like the air changes from cool to warm and then cools again, all this kind of stuff. And so that's why they start early. So they're basically riding these thermals and then riding the cool air back and all this kind of stuff.
See, in my mind, I'm thinking you're going to park your car, the balloon's going to come up, it's going to hook to your car. Pick your whole car and your whole family up and then take them to his shop. That's what I want yeah. it to be.
I'm trying to not be scared shitless of the whole hot air balloon ride situation. Cause you know, you're in a fucking wicker basket, a couple hundred or 500 feet above the ground.
You're not going to go, are you?
I know for sure. Oh, if the opportunity arrives
that.
For fucking shit.
Fuck
sure.
that. No interest. Zero interest in going on a hot air balloon.
I'll tell you what. I was riding. So at the Blade Show in the pit, they have these elevators that go up and down. And they're like the glass elevators on three sides. And so you can see the floor leaving. And as I was riding up, I was watching that. I was like, oh, this is going to be kind of what it's like in a hot air balloon. Obviously it's very different. So the wind's gonna be blowing, we're gonna be waggling and wiggling and you know, all over the fucking place, off the bottom, dangling off the bottom of the balloon.
Forget it.
But I was like, height wise though, it's gonna feel similar. And so if I can do this, then I should be able to.
I'm gonna predict a feeling.
I'll let you know if I piss my
pants. I'm gonna predict a feeling that you're gonna have. You're going to have your hands on the basket. Okay, you're going to look over, and you're going to have this very subtle pressure on your testicles. And that pressure on your testicles is going to kind of slowly ride up to your stomach. And it's not going to hurt, but it's going to feel terrible. And you're not going to be, you're just going to be like, all right. And you're going to have your hands on your grip on the sides of the fucking wicker basket. Your legs are going to be spread wide because for some reason that's going to happen. And you're going to have this very tense tension in your testicles. That's what I would have. Okay. I grew up on the 18th floor of a building and I had a balcony and I would look over the side, and that was always the feeling I had looking down, which was this feeling of just pressure and almost terrible pressure, a pressure I hated, and I have to get back inside. So you're not getting me on a hot air balloon, even no matter how nice of a person he is.
When was the last time you were that high up?
Dude, I mean, on a, I mean, not airplane. I was in a building not too.
Just like on
a
balcony.
I was in a balcony a while ago. I actually have a family friend.
How was it? Did it feel the same?
It felt like balls. It felt like fucking pressure balls. Balls pressure. But I'll tell you a fucking story that happened to a. I know, guys, we're not talking so much knife talk. Just relax. We got you. Don't worry about that. I have a family friend, a very old family friend, who we have family down in Mexico. I have this connection with this family in Mexico, Mexico City. The husband, who I loved, and he'd known me since I was born, knew my parents and knew everybody. He and his wife were on a balcony, and he was leaning, and the balcony was just not New York, you know, United States regulation. Oh, he leaned back, his feet kicked up, he went head over heels, grabbed his wife, and he ended up falling to his death from this balcony. And when she describes it, she's lost the love of her life. She lost the love of her life, except for she was furious because she felt like he was trying to take her with him.
I see. So he died.
He died.
What you said was
she survived. Okay, she survived, but he grabbed onto her.
Yeah, I got you.
And it was like, okay. She was just like, are you fucking crazy? So yeah, I'm not much of a balcony guy. I'm not much of a balcony. I did up days. So Okay. Forget Oliver, I'm with you, but let me get me on that fucking balloon. That's for sure. I mean, maybe.
Yeah, we were... So part of the tour of driving around Ireland was going right to these cliffs in County Kerry. And they're called the Cliffs... Kerry Cliffs, or I don't know, at least this particular spot. I don't know if they're very famous, but they are super fucking high up, and they have... it's on private property, and they built the handrail that goes out, and I'm sure maybe they hired somebody professional to do this shit, but how often are people doing that anyways? And my wife got was a little scared. Like, she got up there, and I was anticipating I would be doing the same thing, all the whole like constriction of your nut sack and all that crap. I like, cause I growing up had the same issue with heights, even if it was like the second floor or anything higher than like the second or third, or maybe even the fourth, whatever. I was like scared shitless. And I was like sitting there right at the edge, and I didn't feel a thing. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I was like, oh, that's really pretty. But I might as well have been on just standing at sea level.
So you're having a good time. Weird. You're having a good time. You're having a great time or a good time?
It's going good.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure.
No, it's great. It is a great time. Yeah, like I said, Fingal's fucking ledge
blink,
bag.
Just blink twice if you're feeling like you got it, it's time to go. Just don't worry about that. I know. Listen, sometimes you say he's in the other room. I know. Just like knock on the mic if you're really. If you're standing over your shoulder, knock on the mic a couple times if you need some help, and I'll call the gendarmes. I don't think there's gendarmes over there. But let's. It's awesome. I'm sure. I'm happy for you. This is your first time in out of the United States, really, in Europe. And don't call it Europe.
Well,
don't
it's
call
my
it
first
Europe.
Time in Europe.
The Irish don't like it when you call Ireland Europe, right? Yeah, they don't like
part
it
of
though.
The EU.
Oh, they do. They like it. They refer to themselves as European. I don't think so.
I have no.
Don't fucking say it out loud.
I don't know about
don't
that.
Don't fucking say it out loud.
Nobody has had taken issue with me saying this is my first time to Europe.
I don't think they like it. I don't think.
Or maybe they're being polite and they're keeping it in themselves, but inside their head, they're
speaking
like,
of which, actually, while you're there, our friend, I don't know if you met him at Blade Show, Knives by Nuge is in Cork. Was in Cork a couple days ago. He sent me a message saying that he was in Ireland. He's in Ireland now, but he's going to Dublin. And he ran in and got some Gabin sausage and sent me a picture. And I said, are you going to see Mareko and Fingal? And he goes, no, I couldn't do it. But he's in Ireland too. So all these knife talk guys are around. P.S. How good are the Irish knife makers? I mean, it is something special, don't you think? All right.
They're good.
Well, that was it. That
They're
was
fucking
it was
good.
Lackluster. That was a lot of lackluster. Yeah, it was lackluster.
Well,
dude.
I
said, how great are these guys?
See
and you're like, yeah, they're good.
Oh my God, they're fucking awesome.
I mean, you're going to be at...
No, right, they're so you'll be, they are fucking
worry,
awesome.
You're
going
to be out
talented.
Of the country by the time this posts, so don't worry about that. I'm with you 100%. But before we get into it, let's just talk about our friends over in DOS USA. I got to meet Evan from Texas Ferry Supply at Blade Show. Awesome dude. And if you go to TexasFerrySupply.com, put in the promo code KNIFETALK10, you're going to get 10% off everything, including the DOS USA RhinoWet. Stuff is awesome. I bet they have RhinoWet where you are in Ireland. I bet they do.
If it's good enough for Fingal,
it's good enough for you guys. Go to TexasFerrySupply.com, put in the promo code KNIFETALK10, get yourself 10% off. Thank you, DOS USA, and thank you, Texas Ferry Supply. All right.
It was great to meet Evan. I caught him just for a second on the last.
Yeah, yeah. He just kind of touched down. It was really great to see him. So here's what we got. If you want to, my week is my week. No, I ain't too worried about that. But we can.
I mean,
things are fine. It's, you know what? I'm
you
going
to struggle.
It's today is Thursday. So a week from now, I'm flying to Barcelona. So it just kind of all came to a head. I didn't really realize it. So now I'm in crunch time. And one of the weird things that we did that I'm just to kind of keep the ball rolling, and I made a very small version of our friction folder, like a box cutter. And I thought, you know what? I'm not going to make a pile of them because, you know, you make a pile of them and no one buys them or they sits around. I'll just do a pre-order. I just expected there to go in 4, 5, 6. I didn't think much of it. Oh, my God. We got inundated, and I had to, stop the pre-order, much to the dismay of some of the people who work here, and I had to apologize.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so I'm trying to knock out 20 before I go to before I leave for Ireland. Spain, before I leave to Spain. Ooh. So we just finished heat treating. All the handles are fit. We're working on it, and I made a slight error in classification. I said one of them. I did a concave bevel on one side, like a single bevel. I made the mistake of saying giving people the option of right-handed or left-handed.
Okay.
What I should have said was right side or left side, because right-handed or left-handed. If you're pulling towards you, like I was pulling towards me for opening up a box. When you open up a box, you're pulling towards you. That I want the bevel towards me. But if you're pushing out, then the bevel is underneath, and then all of a sudden now. So left-handed, right-handed isn't really the case. So I had to write emails to everybody saying, look, I should have said left side or right side. I'm sorry I said left-handed, right-handed. We're taking care of it, and we're trying to push and get a ton of stuff done because I'm leaving in a week, and life is, how life is. So,
right.
But other than that, I like pressure. Yeah. I do well with pressure. I do well with deadlines. I do well with fucking pressure. So there we go. That's the end of that. And I don't remember what else. Oh, and I'm going to Sweden in August. Right. That's very exciting. I got invited. Tormek invited me. They love me now. And I love them. A couple years ago, situation wasn't this situation. But so I'm doing something with Tormek in August, and I'm fired up about that. And trying to get the summer going, and try to do things with the family. Blah 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 blah. That enough of that. We're almost an hour in, and here's when I'm going to give you the options. We can do some questions, or we can have some fun, and we can have some fun with Would You Rather? Well, but I mean, all of a sudden we're having this nice conversation about your trip, and then all of a sudden we're going to hit people up with plunge lines and shit. It's just it's like a road bump. I mean, you're driving down the highway, having a good time, telling stories, and then all of a sudden it's just let's talk about taxes. So what I'm going to give you, the option. You weren't here last week, so we can do, we had some tool regrets. We had some listener feedback, one listener feedback that I would read, but I might save that feedback for next time Craig's here. Or we also have some Would You Rather. Or we have questions. So it's really up to you. Your call.
I got you.
What would you like?
Okay.
Yeah. Would you rather, guys? What I want you to do. I want you to follow us, Knife Talk Podcast, on Instagram, and that's where you can interact with the show. You can send us questions. You can send us listener feedback. You can give us bit suggestions. Our friend Plumley Knives sent us bit suggestions I thought was really good. Somebody suggested this bit is, would you rather? Would you rather? So we are given two options. Usually they're knife related. Sometimes they're not knife related. I mean, our friend Brigham Kidell gave us a weird one a couple weeks ago. Oh, I tell you, his was, would you rather? Oh, you were here for that. Don't worry about that. So, guys, here's would you rather. All right. So this first one comes from Performance Edgeworks. Performance Edgeworks. Hi, my name's Jordan. Long time listener, first time writing in. Would you rather die of heat exhaustion or hypothermia? Thank you, KTP, for making Mondays something to look forward to. Remember that time I said it's usually knife-related? My bad. Would you rather die of heat exhaustion or hypothermia? Was that funny? Are you there? Any reason why?
Hypothermia.
Any reason why?
What? Why not? Yeah, I'm here.
We're having an issue.
Right. Are we having an issue with the what? Well, I was going to say, so with hypothermia, is you basically kind of fall asleep. So you actually end up dying as you're like already passed out from being cold.
I agree. You ready for the next one? I mean, I don't know.
All fucked up?
The next one comes from Van Gassick. Van Gassick. Okay. Would you rather only be able to use Harbor Freight tools to build knives or get a 2x72 grinder with all the attachments, but every time you change belts, another snake gets added to your shop? Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I would go with the 2x72.
Me too. I would do the same thing. And I wanted one thing I thought we could talk about is, I don't know if you're noticing this, but I'm starting to get advertisements for Harbor Freight, and the Harbor Freight radio address
of
radio commercials are usually this dude, this like tough dude. Maybe he's forgot this kind of like accent that he works hard and all this stuff. And what I've noticed is when he's talking about, he says, That's funny. When you need to work hard and you need a working man's price, go to Harbor Freight. And It was hilarious because it's just like, this is some bullshit stuff. And they're trying to make it seem as though this is the working class thing. And frankly, I've had it with Harbor Freight. I have had it with the whole concept of it, but I resent the ad campaign where they think that this is for like the working class man, because it's like, it's supposed to be the big America thing. You know what I mean? Yeah,
Harbor Freight.
I mean,
again,
it's all.
Right?
I mean, have you ever been into a Harbor Freight?
Fuck yeah, I have. When I first started making knives, half the shit I bought and used was actually probably more than half the stuff. All my little tools and all, like, so much stuff came from Harbor Freight. And you know why? Because if you're an American and you're on a tight budget and you need that tool, but you ain't got a lot of money,
go
to Harbor Freight.
And it's like, it's unbelievable. I went in there and I got a rock tumbler and I resented it.
Dude, I still use a lot of the shit that I bought.
One thing I got from there that was unbelievably good, and I'm so furious about it, is I got a nibbler. You know what a nibbler is? You never hear of a nibbler? Recco? No, what's
for
a Hardy
like
board?
Hardy board?
What's Hardy board?
Is it for Hardy board?
No,
like
it's for
like
thin steel. It's like a sheet. It's like a
or like It's a concrete and recycled paper.
No, a nibbler. A nibbler. I'm not. Listen, I know what a fuck. I know what concrete is. Just because I'm from fucking the city, I know what the concrete board is. But a nibbler is like an electric shear. It looks like a handheld drill, and it's got a shear on it. So I got one of those from Harbor Freight. But I would do anything I can to not go into another Harbor Freight. All right, so the next one is, okay. This one comes from Supertech 550. Supertech 550 says.
That, by the way, that's exactly what I was talking about.
A nibbler. You mean a nibbler? Yeah, okay. All right.
The nibbler. Dude, our
I don't,
our delay
I don't
is
see it
so
as being off
it's
by
terrible.
Much. But we'll find. Yes, we're going to find out. We're going to find out, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to find out because I haven't seen anything. And we might end up, you know, we might end up just fucking this thing off.
Ready.
Just to make sure, you know. Let's just say the Supertech 550 says, Supertech 550 says, would you rather hand file your knives? Supertech 550 says, would you rather hand file your knives or only use an acetylene torch to forge? You get that? You get that? All right, guys, listen. Yeah. All right. Here's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
We're going to say a few. All right.
What do you think? Why don't you
guys,
go first?
I want to thank our friends at Broadback Ironworks. It was a great time seeing Vince and Ryan and everybody at Broadback Ironworks. And I got big news. They had a blade show deal. And the Blade Show deal was amazing because they had all their products, all their things, and all the packages discounted. And what they did do was not only were they discounted, but there's also they're giving attachments away too. And they're with the packages, and they're giving 15% off on their things. Well, they've decided to have it run all the way through the end of June. So if you go to BroadbackIronworks.com, you can get sale. So go to BroadbackIronworks.com, and we're going to check out all their sales until the end of June. It's a ton of sales. So I want to thank our friends at Broadback. They have the beautiful new power hammer that looks awesome. They're pre-selling it right now, made in America. They have all sorts of things going on, and I want to thank them because they're fantastic. So with that said, I have a bad feeling that our lines are not great. Would you say so? Okay. I don't hear you. With that said, guys, sorry. These things happen. It was great catching up with Marek.
I can hear everything you're saying. I think. Right. Right.
Let me just close this motherfucker down because it's getting worse. Guys, I want you to listen to, go follow us on Instagram. Go to Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram. Next week, we'll be all squared away. I'm pretty sure we're going to have Craig back. And Marekko, have a great time in Ireland. Have a great time in Italy. And we'll see you soon, okay?
Okay. Okay. I'll see you later. Bye.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.